9250. That's the Revolutionary Coalition. Homeless United for Freedom and Friendship. 423-HUB. Okay, here we go. I only got a couple minutes here. Becky's here, get ready to take over. I think I'm gonna go out there and kill a cop and go to heaven. Anyway, nah, I ain't gonna do no, don't shoot. I'm not coming out there to get you yet. You know, I'll wait for the revolution to jump off before I do that. Stop. Yeah, did I give all the? Yeah, I think I gave all the. Yeah, well, once again, yeah, come on down to the protest. We're in the 113th day. Fighting for your rights, believe it or not. I'm trying to make a stand here and trying to stop them, this tidal wave of them human rights, constitutional rights abuse. Got to make a stand somewhere. Sleep is not a crime, and all I want to say is, you know, that this is a noble cause, and whatever you could do to help support, come down, talk to people. You know, we got literature, information, whatever you need to do to make your mind up to donate whatever you can to this cause, this noble cause. Thank you. I am off the air.
Thank you, Mike. And this is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides in Exile. Bathrobes Pier is, as you know, in the big house up in San Francisco for having served bagels, soup, and I'm told a lovely garden salad to homeless people. And this apparently is a crime. So listen in, 96.3 FM.
We're heading on down to San Francisco to take my good friend here, Robert, to jail voluntarily for feeding the homeless. While I'm looking out here, I'm saying, this is one of the things we have to help protect, is the environment and people's rights. Right now, we're working on the people's rights. One of the things I was saying just a minute ago was, every time we look around, they make something else illegal. Now they're starting to make the basic charities and human kindness is illegal. Putting a quarter in someone else's meter. Feeding the homeless. Giving a blanket to a cold man. As tomorrow comes up, and children are tomorrow, you've got to look at them and say, no, it is not illegal to be kind. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to smile and say hello and give a hungry man a meal. If you want to look around for tomorrow, look at the kids, look how they act. Because that's what we're going to have to deal with when we're old.
This is quite a price you're paying, Robert, for having given bagels and soup to hungry homeless people.
Well, a lot of people have been treated a lot worse than I have. People have been beaten up for doing this. I was never beaten up, and hopefully I won't be. Besides, it's unless you're willing to resist unjust laws, you lose out, because eventually your liberties get completely eroded. So, you know, think of all the women who admire me.
Ah, there's always those silver linings, eh? How about you? You picking up a lot of chicks now that you're the famous twisted one? Mr. Twister's making visuals, so I'll explain them to our audience later. A-beggling we shall go. Hi-o the derry-o, a-beggling we shall go. Next verse.
Wop up a little apple, one mine with cream cheese, and just bag of Legos, onion, poppy seed. One mine bagel with big cream cheese. Yeah.
Soon to get off the freeway, passing the Slovenian Hall.
Underlying slow.
That'd be Slovenian, yes.
Weather conditions seem to be bad out here on the freeway. It's a bird's-eye view coming in from right now. We're trying to get over the freeway and the smog. If we can see through it, we'll see where the cars are. Reports will be coming in as soon as we can clear the windshield. Thank you.
That's our weatherman, whether you like it or not. Man with the large red nose, Mr. Twister.
Anything?
Oh, you know, the usual.
Here's flyers, if anybody wants them.
You know, meeting people's good, resting people.
Oh, yeah.
Has everybody eaten yet, is the question.
We're working on it.
Yeah. All right. We had traffic problems, but one of the problems was we were clowning around on the way up here. I'd like to introduce you to a very famous Santa Cruzan. We just came up from Santa Cruz today. This is Mr. Twister. Mr. Twister was arrested for feeding parking meters in Santa Cruz. Mr. Twister actually was one of the few people I've known who has successfully changed the law. Santa Cruz, within a month of his arrest, had changed their law regarding feeding parking meters. He was a good Samaritan walking along putting in nickels in parking meters. They arrested him, and they got so much bad publicity that within, what, a month? Within a month, the city council all met and repealed the parking meter feeder law. So in Santa Cruz, it is legal to put a dime in someone else's meter now, thanks to Mr. Twister.
That's a scandal.
He's actually a very famous celebrity. He's gone all around the world, had engagements everywhere as a consequence of this publicity. Now he wants to extend his reign of crime to bagel crime. That's why he's here today.
Alright.
He's not only
careerist, huh?
Desperados won't stop at anything.
He's not only
sit in parking meters.
He's not only a parking meter feeder, he's a bagel juggler, and you may see that later. So, I don't know, do I need this thing? Can you hear me if I talk like this?
Yes!
No.
No. Yes? No. No. All right, we'll do both. Okay, well, usually when I talk about my case, I have some interesting speculation about what's going to happen next. Unfortunately, unless somebody else has heard something new and I just got here, we've sort of reached the end of the road here for this one, because I'm due, of course, as you know, to enter jail in about an hour for a sentence of 59 days. That means 59 days.
When you get a parole hearing?
Nuremberg!
I don't know. I was offered probation, as those of you who came to the hearing know, but probation means, you know, you get arrested when you come to the next demonstration, so you can't really take probation if you want to continue.
How long probation?
Beating people. It would have been a year at least. So I didn't take probation. Judge Barkley, the judge who gave me this 59-day sentence, and the judge who refused to hear any modification in this sentence and to make any modification, refused community service, and he also refused me the option of home arrest. And I think there's at least one other person here. She's wearing a black hat. Hey there, Pebbles. Pebbles!
That happened to you too. Here's another person who's facing all kinds of time, more time than I would even consider facing. She's facing time for medical marijuana in two upcoming trials. I think we should look at her, listen to her, and to respect what she is doing here.
Same judge?
No, it's different judges. And maybe you could talk as soon as I'm finished about your cases.
Yes, thank you.
Different judge.
Balloons being shot by cops.
Twisted. So, the real question is, why was the judge...
an asshole!
So, yes, exactly. Why was he so obstinate as to make a laughingstock of San Francisco and the judicial system here after it's become clear that at least in terms of arrest, who nut bombs in San Francisco is not being arrested? Though I suspect you probably already heard about Whittier. You people have talked about Whittier yet?
No.
Well, perhaps somebody, is anybody from Whittier here today? Or does anybody know about it?
Balloons.
Yeah, you're going to talk about Whittier? Okay, then there's a man here who's going to talk about Whittier. Whittier today, somebody goes on trial, as I understand it, unless that's been changed. That's right? Yeah, somebody's...
Whittier!
Yeah, who is Whittier? I would say I'm definitely Whittier, but luckily, I am not in Whittier, because they're doing the same shit down there that a couple years ago they did up here. Actually, they did it in Santa Cruz 7 years ago. I was on trial 7 years ago for free food in Santa Cruz. And they're doing the same thing, apparently, in Whittier. So this really isn't... it isn't the end of the road. It's not the end of the struggle. It's the beginning of the struggle, or the middle of the struggle. We've got to have to keep on fighting this because, and of course, in San Francisco, as I said the last time I spoke to you, San Francisco is arresting people for sleeping every night. San Francisco is arresting homeless people for simply existing in public spaces. San Francisco's arrests for these crimes has gone up, not down, since the Jordan administration of a year ago. So we need to focus on dissolving the injunction under which I am being arrested. Yes, nobody has been arrested since Jordan left power for this injunction, but Keith McHenry has had his car harassed and ticketed on numerous occasions.
Including today.
Including today.
Including today.
Maybe you could talk about that at some point. Food Nut Bombs has had its food confiscated within the last 2 weeks. So it's not over at all. The confiscations have not stopped. The harassment has not stopped. The arrests for sleeping in public, for being in public, have not stopped.
Serving. The city said that we needed permits, we needed help. The health department officials came out to check our food. They said that we needed use permits for the park. We continued serving despite threats of arrest. The city backed down. 2.5 years later, the city decided that it was time to press the permit issue once again, and police started going down to Central Park where Food Not Bomb serves down there and warning them that if they didn't stop serving, that they would soon be arrested. They kept serving and kept serving. The police would go, kept threatening to arrest, and finally they made tickets, which the police later said were on-site arrests. And so today, and also on the 24th, the people who were ticketed on that day for serving are going to court. So what's been happening is Whittier's been serving across the street from the park at a church, and the police leave them alone. As soon as they step back over into the park, then the police come over and threaten to ticket and arrest again. The police told Whittier Food Not Bombs they had to apply for a permit, so they did apply for a permit. It was denied because the city council claimed that Food Not Bombs contributes to the homeless problem, and so therefore the permit was not granted. So Whittier Food Not Bombs had a meeting with the people that they eat with, and the people who live in that park decided that it wasn't worth the trouble of getting arrested just so to continue serving next to the park, and so that's what Whittier Food Not Bombs has been doing. And I haven't heard exactly what happened in court today, but they're also going to court on the 24th. They're facing monetary fines. So they're continuing to serve despite the fact that the Whittier police have been harassing them and denying them permits on the grounds that Food Not Bombs is a contribution to the homeless problem. So
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson. I'm here from
7-day-a-week vigil to end the sleeping ban in the city of Santa Cruz. This is a law that makes it illegal for people to sleep between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. This is a law that makes it illegal for people to cover up with blankets or bedding between the hours of 11 p.m. and 8:30 a.m. This is a law that allows the police to come and seek out under the bushes and bridges in Santa Cruz sleeping homeless people and wake them up, take them at times, and remove their blankets and bedding and leave them with a $162 ticket. This is a law.
You know, for most officers, this is a fun game. They enjoy their job.
Mr. Twister is here in support of abolishing what these laws that we do not need on our books. These laws are inhuman. These laws are cruel. These laws are just plain stupid.
Let's see. My name's Mr. Twister. I don't need this. Why? Because I got that broadcasting voice. Now, me and myself, I want to be where I can see tomorrow coming. And you know what that means? That means you can't have things like it's illegal to feed the homeless. It's illegal to cover up. It's illegal to put quarters in people's parking meters. It's illegal to ease the suffering of another individual. Now, these are all the things that are becoming illegal in America, and I hate it. Now, everybody here? You guys know what human kindness is, right?
Yeah.
Right. Do we practice human kindness?
Yeah.
How many of the old human kindnesses that your parents did are now illegal?
Most of them.
Most of them. Yes, we're down to just a very few. Now, if you want to see tomorrow coming, think about it. The kids. Now, if it's illegal to help out a homeless person, if it's illegal to do an act of kindness, if it's illegal to put a quarter in a parking meter, they're not even going to bother to think about human kindness anymore. What are we teaching them? I mean, if we let it go, the status quo, we're going to be the ones paying it for the end.
Do it in the
end.
Right here.
Okay. Hey, Robert.
Dave.
Hey, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we're giving you the proper response and proper spirit as you go in there. And we'll be out there. I've just come down from saying get in the loop, it's time for soup. No time to frown. It's time to get down to dozens of punk rockers and old-time hippies and folks in the street up where H Street meets the park. No problems. The cops came around, they said hi, and went on. At the same time, we're serving soup and good Jewish bread in the Lower Haight and at 16th and Mission 2. And I want to put out the irony that we may say, and we do say, come and dine, they call it a crime, but come and eat, it's quite a treat. Food, not bombs, bread, not bombs, the drums. That since the mayor joined has been thrown into what Marx calls the dustbin, the garbage pail of history, we've been serving freely. And yet this brother today is going to be a guest of the city and county of San Francisco. And I believe there's a contradiction and an irony. And we should realize he's in there for us. And we're out here for him. So hey, Robert Norris Conn, keep up the good work. And remember that this is better not to be the last that we have to do with Robert Norris Conn. He's doing at least 40 days there. And we better make sure that he has food for the body, mind, and spirit. In other words, something good to read, something good to do, and something to look forward to. So let's make sure that we all dedicate ourselves to make sure that we're out while we're out here, freely serving soup, and putting out that good Jewish bread, that we don't forget Robert Norris Conn in there, in jail. Thanks a lot.
That they just get off their fascist high horse and quit trying to make this California into a Nazi-controlled prison garrison state. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
with the 100%.
The three Tibet people?
Yeah. They were very authoritarian.
They want to rule Tibet.
Let them talk here.
So I got up and I announced that there was a protest going on today at 4 o'clock and I got booed off and they called me rude and they argued with me and they told me to get the fuck out of there. What peaceful fucking people they are, huh?
Oh, well.
I just want to say, sisters and brothers, we have to get together. We have to make our movement stronger. We have to tell our friends. We have to be out here. Thank you.
We received a phone call from Amnesty International in London, and they're supposed to be getting back to us any time now about whether Robert has been declared a prisoner of conscience or not. They said this morning said that the governments in the United States had not one of them responded to their request for an explanation as to why Robert would have to do 60 days in jail. And that they... But, I don't know. But, there you
have it.
So, at least actually I'll get the word out to other countries that this kind of thing is actually standard fare in the U.S. And Robert is one of a whole list of political prisoners being jailed here in the United States. And so hopefully Amnesty's support of him and of the homeless and of Putin's bombs will be will apply some pressure to this government, which has so far been unwilling to respond to any requests from either them or the UN as to why they are trying to stop people from speaking freely here in San Francisco. Is there any more people that want to speak? Great. Okay, Pebble. Say hello to Dennis Martel, the architect of this grand plan.
Where is he?
Right there.
We're shooting you! We're shooting you! Get in the car, Dennis Martel!
He's been responsible for the stupidest arrest that demonstration ever seen in San Francisco.
Yes, progressive Mamiya 279!
Captain Martel!
That's right, Captain Martel!
Captain, what happened? Did he get demoted or something?
How soon?
And there's this side that stands for justice. By their actions and by our deeds, you shall know it. And that is Robert Bathrobe-Pierre Khan. And the Judge Harasso versus Robert Bathrobe-Pierre Khan, you know, is now at a standstill. It appears that they won something. But actually all they did was put on the front pages, you know, of our lives, the sentences they're willing to mete out against people who are standing and working for justice and for goodness in this world. There isn't very much, and it's drowned out easily. You know, I feel that I have also been harassed and followed and persecuted even for what I feel is a very good herb, marijuana, one of the most blessed things that Mother Nature has to offer the world. You know, Food Not Bombs is being persecuted for distributing Mother Nature's bounty, and I am being persecuted for using Mother Nature's bounty, marijuana for medical purposes, and I describe marijuana as spiritual and physical medicine because it's for both enlightenment and attunement with healing energies and with Mother Nature's, you know, higher powers, that when they enter the human being, we can feel ourselves going to more enlightened places. But the police disagree with us, and I have been prosecuted in 4 counties. I have faced 7 busts. And refile that misdemeanor possession charge on me. So I have a trial on that one on August 16th in Richmond. And I actually could use your support if that is not so far this time. And if you want to come to Richmond, if you put that on your calendar, August 16th, it would probably prevent a harsher sentence. To Richmond, if you put that on your calendar, August 16th, it would probably prevent a harsher sentence because the people here know what's right and know what side to be on. That is the side of Bathrobe-Pierre.
This is 96.3 FM, Free Radio, Sanford.
We wanted to announce before we forget, there's going to be a vigil here every morning as people go into court. And we're looking for people to come here every morning at 8:30, Monday through Friday, to agitate in front of this courthouse and try to reach as many people who are caught up in the San Francisco criminal injustice system as possible. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow night to also plan future actions in support of freeing Robert Norris Kahn and ending the harassment of people here in San Francisco who are living outside. And that's going to be a Muddy at 7:30, the 24th Street Muddy, 24th and Valencia Street tomorrow night to plan more direct actions on some of this immediate news and another protest.
Well, it's 25 minutes of freedom left, folks. I have with me the attorney who has tried real hard to bring up the issues that we've been trying to raise here at the appellate court level. The real issues were, of course, ignored at the trial court level, which is a politically concocted court order designed to destroy Food Not Bombs because two administrations, Mayor Agnos and Mayor Jordan, wanted to conceal and repress the homeless population. But there was some argument done about this, some courageous argument that finally hit the papers. You may have noticed in the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, I've gone to jail here, but nonetheless, some of the stuff has come out in the Examiner and for the first time in the Chronicle, that the issue is not one of permits, but persecution is the issue here.
Yeah.
And I'd like to introduce, lawyer has been covering all this, sometimes pro bono, sometimes getting a pittance, David Beauvais, Berkeley, I call him Bedrock Beauvais. He's also been covering the case of Carol Denny and the slap suit defendants of Berkeley who have been fighting for People's Park and the right to resist the imperialist activities of the University of California, which wants to drive poor people out of Berkeley. David?
Thanks for the fine introduction, Robert. This is a pretty sad day for me because, you know, I'm a lawyer and I don't like to see my clients go to jail, and most of the time they don't, especially on something like this, which is a case where someone has done something that has conferred a benefit on the public. And in response to that, the authorities want to jail him for 60 days. I mean, isn't this what the Republicans are talking about? We should have volunteerism, private support for people that need help. And this is what Mr. Kahn was doing, this is what Robert was doing, this is what Food Not Bombs is doing. And the hypocrisy of this is astounding. Now, as bad as this is, as bad as it seems, I know Robert's a pretty strong guy, and he knows that the kind of work he does exposes him to this kind of retribution because he keeps pointing out the problems. He keeps pointing out the hypocrisy. And you know what? This case is going to be a kind of turning point, not just for Food Not Bombs, but for other organizations and groups that are pointing out that we need to make some fundamental changes in this society. And we need to start helping the people that need help instead of the big corporations that don't and the military establishment which doesn't need help. And it's time to make these changes, and this is an opportunity to tell the world, yes, they're actually putting somebody in jail for feeding the hungry.
Criminal! They are criminal!
And we're going to continue to take the word and spread it around the country and around the world that this is how we are treating people in America. And already the major media is starting to get interested in the issue. And we're going to encourage that. And I received a call from Amnesty International in London this morning, and they indicated that they are considering very seriously adopting Robert as a prisoner of conscience. And they've already written to Governor Wilson to tell him that they think this is wrong. So let's just keep up the good work. Let's not get too depressed. And I've also been assured by the Sheriff's Department that they will do everything they can to make Robert comfortable during the time that he has to be in. I mean, no, really. I mean, even the Sheriff's Department thinks this is absurd. So, I mean, here you got somebody who's not even a criminal that you're putting in jail. And as long as we keep building jails, we're going to have to figure out reasons to put people in them.
Oh, right.
And Let's just keep up the good work, and thanks for showing up.
Food Not Bombs rally at San Francisco in front of the Halls of Justice on June 17th.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tom. Tom Not Bomb from San Francisco. And, but I believe the word should be, I love my mind in San Francisco, because I have this theory, and you tell me if you don't agree with me, that if you stay in San Francisco long enough, you will lose your mind. I've noticed that with almost everybody I know. Now, I want to say, I think there's two kinds of ways people lose their mind in San Francisco. There's the one type that's the most common type that most of the people here don't have, I'm glad to say, and that's called serious fasciitis. You see some of the people around here with serious fasciitis. It's an epidemic kind of thing where almost everywhere you go, you run into these type of people. Then you have the other side, the ridiculosis. Now, this is the kind of disease I have, and some of you might feel sometimes too. And today, I finally realized why this is so. Because if you feel ridiculous in this system, you almost feel ridiculous about feeling ridiculous. Now, this system that we're under, I was once at a Rainbow Gathering this weekend, and guess what happened there? The police were there from 8 a.m. on Saturday blocking the road so the Rainbow Gathering could not happen. Jeff McCullen was having a going away party at the beach this weekend. The police came there and told everybody they couldn't be there. It was against the law for them to be there for some reason. If somebody drunk down the beach or something, and they all had to go. If they didn't go, they would be cited for something. I'm not sure what. So there that. Now we have Robert going to jail for serving free food. And we have so many other instances of the system intruding in the most ridiculous fashion into our lives that we almost feel ridiculous being activists. We almost feel like there should be something more deep or something. So if you feel ridiculous like I do, keep up the good work. Thanks very much.
My Amnesty may be thinking now about declaring Robert Norris a prisoner of conscience. We know he is. Robert Norris is now a political prisoner. We should take this time to remember all political prisoners like Mumia Abu-Jamal, Geronimo Pratt, Fred Hampton Jr., Lloyd Pelkin, who else?
Rod Coronado,
Tatiana Acquari. These are all political prisoners posted in jail in this country because they're working for positive social change. I was one of the people arrested with a 279 of us who were protesting Mumia Abu-Jamal imprisonment and frame up just almost exactly a year ago today. About 50 of us are suing the SFPD for those illegal arrests. We were supposed to go to court, this small claims court, a month ago, but the cops got a stay for a month. I just got a letter yesterday saying that they're requesting another stay because they don't know how to respond to this, you know, putting 279 people in jail for a peaceful demonstration. We're suing them. We're going to win. And we're going to keep fighting. We got a chant over in East Bay that I've been wanting to do because I think it's kind of cool, and it kind of sums up what Robert Norris is going to jail for here. It goes like this. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be.
Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be. Free food for the people as it should be.
You don't need a permit to have free food.
Let's give a big hand for Robert Norris and his work and all the business with him.
Raise your hand, come on, all of you. Who's ever lifted a ladle?
Come on.
Hello. My name is Savannah.
What
watch your back in jail at all times. And if no one has said that to you, I'm going to say it to you as a friend, because I have friends who have gone into jail and gotten hurt in there. You know, so be really careful. Watch your back. Don't trust anyone. Don't, you know, till you get out. Hey, hey, hey. It's a sorry day.
Any homeless people, anyone can put it to. And there's not going to be any compromise. Thank you.
Susan, Becky, Susan.
And now that we're on the subject of political prisoners, I'd like to remind people that the homeless are political prisoners, whether they're in jail or not. Think of Robert Kennedy when I'm actually in the bar.
They really shouldn't have pulled this stuff. It's so silly. I think it's a mistake on their part.
Yeah, they're in trouble now.
I hope so. You want to speak about Berkeley?
Other people. I'm going to leave it to other people to speak about Berkeley.
Okay.
The worst. I don't think there's any other place here in the country that had so many people arrested for the Mumia marches, as it were here, correct me if I'm wrong. Then there was this other insane arrest last March the 3rd, which he engineered. In fact, 130 people got arrested, whether they're on the street or on the sidewalk. No one is ostensibly for walking in the street, for jaywalking, but a lot of people on the sidewalk got arrested too. So this is what's going on here in San Francisco. It doesn't matter who the mayor is, who the Brown thing, or whoever. It's the big money industry, the real estate and tourist industry is really running this city. Just be aware of that. Doesn't matter who they're pulling off, it's not the way.
There you go. That's what's happening.
Support, and some of you have, and I'm writing your numbers on my wrist because I'm not going to let me take any paper into the jail. I guess there's a number to call. Keith, hey, McHenry, can they call your number and ask what's going on? How's it going to be on the hotline? And the 800 number will be on the 800 number. Does anybody know?
Yeah, 386-920.
So Keith says, McHenry says that, you call 386-9209, that's in San Francisco, area code 415. You'll get a message that'll tell you what jail I'm in, what the visiting hours are, how many bagels you can bring in, and so forth. So I am definitely interested in getting mail. I want to know what's going on outside. I've not been to jail for this length of time before, so I may seem to be cool, but I'm not cool. I'm a little cold about the whole thing. I don't look forward to it. So any kind of support you can give on the outside is great. Like this, like you're doing right now. It's wonderful. I want to say that there are a couple people who are going to need your support, like this woman holding up the sign, Nikki faces misdemeanor sleeping in Santa Cruz. She's one of four cases in the history of Santa Cruz charged with 6 months in jail for two instances of sleeping at City Hall in Santa Cruz. So there are plenty of other people who are going to need support too, but I appreciate you being here now. Now, I was going to ask if anybody is here from Berkeley who wants to kind of give an update on what's happening there. Is anybody here from Berkeley who wants to talk about... Yes, Berkeley Food Not Bombs hiding in the rafters here. Come on now, Berkeley Food Not Bombs, where are you? At home, perhaps?
looking for their bombs?
Bombs.
They already talked. Okay, I'm sorry. I got here late, so I missed some of that. If you want, you can also call my home phone in Santa Cruz in case you happen to be living down that way or you're happening to help out, let's say, Nikki, when she goes down to her trial. And the phone number down there is 408-423-HUFF. Look over the mic mercifully. Here he is. All right, Brother Robert. Woo! I think we're getting pretty near the time where Robert is going to begin going in at 20% perfect time and suggest that we all accompany the brother as far as we can with him so he doesn't feel all alone, and we give him the support we can as long as we can.
He doesn't have any dollars. He's got $5 with a dime, but no dollars.
to be a lump headed. Yeah, where's the receipt?
Okay, we'll get it.
Where's your... Yeah, I bet.
Dollars for the
paper
first
money.
Dollars.
The media needs paper money.
Yeah, we need dollars.
The file inside the bagels?
Do you have Tom Cruise?
I haven't seen the movie yet. Who's got a pen?
Well, he needs to do something for a sequel.
You want me to talk to you?
Yeah, you'll call me, right?
About 2 months.
It's amazing. You never know what it's like till later, I guess. Then you remember what you're missing.
Seventh floor, I guess.
Looks like it's out of order. I guess there is no
seventh floor.
I think there's not much we can do
now.
Is there
no
seventh floor at this elevator?
Was told no, we go to six and then go up the stairs.
Okay. Sounds
this,
ominous.
It's a jail elevator. Just said it.
Oh, really?
Then
we're in the wrong elevator. This man would know. Where's the seventh floor elevator?
Seventh floor?
Yeah.
We need to get to the
seventh. Not here. Go down, and I think it's this way. Right turn, and make a right turn again.
Go to the middle floor or first floor?
Hey, where are you going?
But not here.
Not here.
So I go down to the first floor?
Fifth floor, first floor.
Fifth floor?
So we'll just go down one flight.
Really, and you got to make a right turn.
Make a right turn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just going to jail is harder than it looks.
Right. Breaking into jail, I guess, is what they call it.
They can at least give you instructions on how to get to jail, you know?
Right.
I suppose like I'll
be given a special penalty for being late to jail, right?
They never learned how to play Monopoly in this building, I guess.
Yeah.
I need one of those cards.
Yes.
Might take your donut
I was
away.
Looking for one this morning.
Now what?
Planning and Research Bureau. You can get public documents from the police department there.
No.
Oh, really? Like a crowd control manual and other possibly interesting.
A secret elevator.
That kind of planning and research.
Mm-hmm.
Building actually closes at 6, technically.
So Martell is a lying dog, is that what you're saying?
What I say that?
What else
There's
is new?
There's a 7 on this one.
Yes, this one is 7.
Lucked out.
Go on.
Sorts.
Yeah, this is it.
I don't know if we'd call it lucking out.
You ever been here before?
No.
Well, you'll see the bar as soon as we walk
over. A man of experience.
You look like home.
You've never been. Sweet home.
I've been in jail, but I haven't been
to the 6th floor. There you are.
Here they are.
Right. You're right at the 7th floor.
Due to lack of interest,
well, they're not here, Robert. I guess we're not here.
Yeah, well, we were here. Yeah, we can prove it.
Fish for service.
Fish for service? I think they're a little surprised to see.
Surrender.
Okay, when you come on in when that door opens.
Okay.
Somebody grab the
elevator. Okay, guys.
Give me a call anytime.
Okay.
All right. Same here, Robert. Even 4:30 in the morning.
Uh-oh. Not 5:30.
Different rules when you're inside.
Yes.
We were not sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So even 4:30.
They won't let him at a phone at 4:30, right?
No, they do. They have a phone in every cell. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Listening to Robert has just gone to jail. That final slam was the door shutting for him to begin his 59-day sentence at County Jail 8 in San Francisco. Now we're riding the elevator.
Oh, great.
The two cameramen.
Should have got in without a press pass.
Oh, they know it's fast.
We've been in this park for too long.
The mailing address, or
well, they have a process that goes through an intake process, and they decide what's suitable for them. And he'll be considered a minimum, whatever, on any scale. And
so, can we make like a phone call tonight or something and find out?
Yeah, he's allowed phone calls every day, and the visits are every day.
Oh, every day?
For now, for the first 72 hours, he can be visited every day.
Uh-huh.
After that, then it's just weekends.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they're marching over to you and
David. How are you?
Thank you.
Nice work down there, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got
I was following the parking meter story because I have a real problem with parking meters. I get huge.
Well, I don't have this bad of a thing with, you know, school handling.
Hey, Mr. Cloud.
They're marching over to you and Closet.
Hi there.
Hi, Robert. How's it go there up in County Jail 8?
Well, I'm pacing back and forth in my orange jumpsuit and my flip-flops on the pod, the F pod here in County Jail 8. Of course, it's kind of quiet. Most folks are either lying in their little, they look like a bunch of oranges lying in their beds or their bunks. F pod is a kind of open area where you don't have any bars on at least the cells downstairs. It's sort of their pod areas. They're sort of just enclosures. And you have four bunks to a cell or to a pod. And then you have little teeny, like 3-inch or 2-inch by 3-foot windows. You can look out on the freeway and see the cars going by. And then you have these tables that have four seats built into them, and they all have a chess or checkerboard on them. People play chess and checkers on them. There are several TVs set into the wall, and above all this rises up this area where a deputy watches, several deputies usually, the goings-on in the pod. It's based on the theories of third-in-command Markham, who's a penologist who's actually a felon. He killed his father in the 60s. He went to jail for it for 7 years or something. His father apparently was abusive, and it was a manslaughter charge. I saw a video which had him featured on it yesterday, which they showed all prisoners who are coming in. And he explained that the jails, the primary problem is that the prisoners run the jail, and in terms of the most violent and the most abusive and the most out of control, the most crazy are the ones that have the most power in most prisons, because much of the time, prisons, when the guards aren't there or when they lock down for the night, the prisoners are all left with each other. And this is supposed to be an exception to that, where you have guards who are there 24 hours a day, and it's really an attempt to not so much, they're punishing you, you know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. true, it is punishment. It's not really rehabilitation, but there are some classes, mostly for getting your high school diploma, dealing with substance abuse, dealing with anger management, things of that sort. guards looking on, and they aren't armed. They're just wearing walkie-talkies, and they walk around, and they tell people, they do issue lots of orders as to what folks should do, but it's generally pretty open. You can go to the bathroom anytime you want. You do have to return to your little pod frequently in order to begin to clean up this and clean up that. And, of course, the food is jail food. People know what jail. People know what jail food is. It's bologna, salami, and turkey. And
so the vegetarians just starve, huh?
Well, no. Actually, I have a vegetarian meal status here. You can get that. And what that means is, instead of bologna, you get processed cheese.
Oh, joy!
You know, and it's, the coffee is chicory. It's not real coffee. It's you know, it's they budget. They're saving money on everything. No doubt, including the salaries of the guards. So,
The $20,000 to $30,000 a year each that California spends per inmate doesn't trickle down to coffee.
You don't get coffee. No, you get we do get a little kind of carton of non-fat milk in the morning and then at lunch at night. And you essentially you get a box lunch at lunch, and for dinner time you get a. Well, it's very small portions. Most people don't get much food.
That's what I've been hearing, not only up in San Francisco, but here in Santa Cruz County, that inmates are reporting that they don't get enough food to eat, that they're in a state of semi-starvation.
That's true. I don't know, semi-starvation, because, you know, but people are always hungry, and food is a very valuable commodity. In other jails nearby, like in San Bruno, and possibly in the jail, right next door, the old jail on the 7th floor of the Hall of Justice, called County Jail 8, that I'm in, as I was saying before. It's the new jail, called the Glamour Slammer by some. In the old jail, it actually, cigarettes are such a highly prized commodity, it costs $150 for a pack.
Wow.
Split into thirds, I think it's $3 for each third of a cigarette. Matches cost $1 if you want to do that. And of course, you can get any kind of drugs you want inside some of the jails. I haven't seen any drugs in here.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I haven't been looking, so it's, I may get desperate as time's going. Except for sugar. Sugar is the major drug in here that people use. It's, you get a commissary once a week, which means you can spend money up to a certain amount to get overpriced candy bars and snacks and sweets. And that,
top ramen at 60 cents a pop?
75. 70, I'm not quite sure. It costs. And if you're an indigent, I think you also get free toothbrushes and toothpaste. And
must be why that cost is so high, that $20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah, well, it's, they have to, it's quality. That's what they with their quality, that's their middle name.
So, Robert, what happened when you first walked in the door there at the jail, at the Hall of Justice on Monday? What was the first?
I mean, when I left you and attorneys Larry and David and the two cameramen who were walking with us?
Right.
Oh, they put me in a long, lonely holding cell for a while, and they took off. Actually, they didn't put me in handcuffs until later. They put me in handcuffs when moving me from the jail at the Hall of Justice over here to the county jail. And that was because we had an officious deputy here who's actually, he's still rather officious, but he's trying to, I think he senses there's some media stuff happening here. He's going to be trying to, not get in anybody's way or create any negative images. I was told to wait. I was brought up, and a couple of people mentioned food, not bombs, in a favorable way, some of the deputies. And then I was taken into the back where I was suited out in these kind of orange clothing. And my teddy bear was wrenched from me.
Wrenched from you? Oh, no.
Taken from me. Actually, I voluntarily gave up Edwina. And my bathrobe was removed from me. So the cartoon in the Santa Cruz Metro done by Cinzo showing me cowering against the bars and my bathrobe and teddy bear is not quite accurate.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really present a photographic, picture-perfect record of what's going on here up in San Francisco.
Also seems to present you as being a rather diminutive figure.
Right. Well, there are guys who are bigger than me, not so much in this cell. I'm bigger than most of the people in this pod, I should say, this F pod. But in other cells reported, there are some big guys. Yeah, there's some guys around who are big. And it's not really how big you are, it's how crazy you are. I've seen a little of that here, but not a lot. I've seen a little of the kind of the crazy, look at how crazy I can be, showing off for other people, look how violent I can be. But not much, because it's kind of, the deputies are constantly reminding you that if you do this, you'll get extra time, and if you don't do this, you won't, and it's kind of a Skinnerian reinforcement thing. They try to reinforce, they tell people, you know, how good you are, that you cleaned up your cell, or you cleaned up your area, you all work together, you get extra cake, you know, that sort of
thing.
Extra
cake, yeah.
Extra cake, yeah.
So, Robert, could you tell the free radio listeners about what's going on in San Francisco with food not bombs?
Well, of course, I'm inside, but I am able to make a lot of phone calls out. At least my dimes are now running out, but until then, I've been able to do so. And the latest thing is, of course, Food Not Bombs, after really giving me quite a send-off rally in San Francisco, supporting me as I went inside. The deputies refused to allow them inside the building, even though the building was open, and I allowed my attorney to talk me into tolerating this instead of just sitting down and getting arrested on the steps, which perhaps would have been a better idea. But Food Not Bombs has been holding a daily vigil in the morning, which they're serving food to commemorate and to demand my release, commemorate my being in jail and to demand my release from jail. And the Amnesty International is still, I think it's not quite formally adopted me as a prisoner of conscience. They've given a final letter to Governor Wilson saying, you know, release him or he becomes a prisoner of conscience. But I'm not aware that the status has become a final prisoner of conscience status yet. It has with another organization called Food First, sort of the splinter group to Amnesty International, which also considers economic rights as important as political rights, but I don't know all the details about that. Food on Bombs, however, has been arrested for the first time in probably about a year. Keith McHenry, a Food Not Bombs activist who I've often interviewed on the show, was arrested on Tuesday morning for ladling oatmeal to people outside the Hall of Justice between 8:30 and 9:30. He was arrested under the injunction that I was arrested under, which is still active in San Francisco. It bars Food Not Bombs from serving food within the city and county of San Francisco without appropriate permits, which of course cannot be obtained because the permit process was removed in 1990.
Didn't Helen Ann say something to Keith McHenry at the end of the last sentence modification hearing?
According to Keith, Helen Ann said something like, "Are you going to go get the permits now, Keith?" Indicating
indicating that he could?
Indicating perhaps that he could. Oh, I see. Did that have to do with the fact that Helen Ann had offered a kind of a weakened, limited series of permits for a different location that Food Not Bombs had rejected? He'd offered permits for 2 days a week, kind of off in the bushes by the library, when Food Not Bombs said, "We want permits, you know, for every day we serve, and want them at UN Plaza, where we've been serving for the last year." And McHelen Ann said he wasn't able to...
This is an interview with Robert Norskon from County Jail 8 in San Francisco. This is 96.3 FM, free radio.
Something. It could have been as innocent as, "Well, we can help you try to get permits now that this seems to be coming down," or, "See, I warned you this would happen, and you better go get permits, because this is what's coming, this is what's in the cards," meaning, in essence, that he had a sort of an ambivalent stature, status. He was going to just possibly go after Food Not Bombs people, or at least not stand in the way of it happening. It's not clear what he meant, but I haven't talked to him, so I don't want to second-guess him. I do know that McHenry was in jail. He was released. He went to court the next day, and the charges were dropped.
Oh, really?
The charges under the injunction were dropped, so he will be... He may have already... They have already served today. I haven't yet got any information whether they were arrested or not. I'm going to call the hotline soon to find out.
Could you give that number for the hotline for our listeners?
Sure. The number to call if you want to contact the Food Not Bombs hotline. And again, their messages are usually a week late, so don't expect a lot of up-to-date news. But you can put a message on the line. You can get general information about Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. It's 415-985-7087. Of course, the Food Not Bombs number in Santa Cruz.
7087?
7087, yeah. The Food Not Bombs number in Santa Cruz, if you want to help cook, serve, prepare, clean, give out literature, is 425-3345, or Feed the People, 425-3333. That's feed, And those are both good numbers to call because I anticipate there's going to be an attack on those organizations sooner or later with the new developments downtown that make it more and more difficult to find a place to feed people where they can legally sit down. The Friendship Corner area of Cathcart and Pacific will soon be a no-sitting zone. The area in front of, the area across from Woolworths, I think, was saved from that. They were going to put a change-making machine in, but I don't think they did. They have one change machine going in. It's illegal to sit 50 feet from a change machine in Santa Cruz. Thanks to bookshop owner Neil Coonerty, Scott Kennedy, Mike Rodkin, all the great liberals of town have gotten together to make sure that streets are safe for tourists and shoppers.
Robert, I'm not sure that you have spoken on the air about the Neil Coonerty letter.
I don't know if I have or not. I mentioned it to you in a letter that I hope will be printed in Metro Santa Cruz or distributed as a flyer. Neil Coonerty wrote a letter to my judge, Judge Robert Barclay, which Barclay improperly opened and read. Coonerty's letter attacked me, accused me of vandalism, accused me of leading people throwing rocks through his window and such, or inspiring that. This was back in 1994 when he was a well-known figure on the city council who supported these anti-homeless laws. And some people indeed threw rocks through his window, I think on two occasions, through one of his bookshop Santa Cruz windows, which I didn't condone, which I don't think is an effective tactic, and which I didn't do.
And you were never charged with
it? Never charged. I didn't advise people to do it. I mean, Coonerty was simply having a shit fit and looking for someone to blame, which he, I think, occasionally does. He has a monumental temper, which I think other people can attest to. He also blamed Kim Argula, who's no longer in town, Candlelight Kim, as I call her, and we considered suing him for, you know, for slander, but, you know, hey, this is you're a public figure in the situation, so charges are considered to be, you know, fair game. So Coonerty wrote this letter, which Judge Barclay should not have opened. He should have looked at the first line and then put it aside. Instead, he read the whole letter, and he claimed that he hadn't been influenced by it, and then he rejected the idea of the sentence modification, which had been proposed by all sides, defense and prosecution, and sent me to where I am now.
Robert, I was under the impression that that letter also requested the judge to give you the maximum sentence allowed under law. Was that your recollection?
No, I don't remember whether that was the case or not. I was told that was the case. You told me that Larry Hildes had that recollection, and we're trying to get a copy of that letter, which is now under judicial seal. But again, we have very, very limited legal resources, and so it's more likely that I'll be out of jail on July 27th, which, by the way, is my out date, for anyone who's interested, before any of that happens. How you doing?
Okay. You getting any good bagels in there?
I have not had a bagel since I came in here. Frankly, I'm getting rather cranky. My bathrobe is in some storage area somewhere, and I have no bagels. So I really encourage people to go out there and demand that I be allowed my bagels, my teddy bear, and my bathrobe. I mean, if without those, what is life worth?
Okay, Robert, I've been, when I talked to Keith McHenry, he suggested that the more letters that you get, the better. That's one of the things that...
I agree, and so far I've received only one letter, but for those who want to write me, I do have an address, which is relatively straightforward. Actually, it's rather lengthy, but you can get it by calling my phone number, in case you don't get it now on the air. My phone number is 423-HUFF, the Huff line. Still operational. I believe that that number, that address, has been placed on that line. But the address is Robert Norris Kahn at
AHN for
prisoner number 1472209 at San Francisco County Jail number 8.
It can be shortened to CJH.
Correct. 425 7th Street.
Wait a minute, it's F-Pod. You forgot the F-Pod.
Right, F-Pod 41B, which is my bunk number, and San Francisco, 425 7th.
Yeah, I should give this, Robert.
California, 94103. And you can give it again, too, if you'd like, since you're going to be broadcasting this on the air. And if you didn't get it, you know, through that rather contorted description, just call 423-HUFF, and you can get it again. It's a local call for Santa Cruz people.
by the way, he did totally screw up that address if you were writing it down. So listen in. I'll give it a little later.
Bagels.
I don't think the bagels are going to get in. They have a very limited policy. But you should definitely lift a bagel in my honor, and particularly take some bagels down to the City Hall sleepers protest, because they are really under the gun right now. I mean, I'm serving this stupid sentence, but they're facing many charges. Pat Ring, Sandpaper Sandy, Sandria Roth.
They're both in jail as we speak.
They're both in jail, and they're in jail for preposterous things. They were, essentially, they were jailed initially for Pat for holding up a sign, Sandy for falling asleep, and they faced 6 months in jail for that, and now when they went to court and they're treated abusively by a bailiff, they're set upon as they leave the court, assaulted, in Pat's case, pepper sprayed, and taken out of jail on multiple charges. I mean, it's not a good situation, not one that Santa Cruzans should tolerate, not one that Rutkin should be allowed to preside over in a benign, smiling manner, as he is going to continue to do.
No, Robert, I was there yesterday when the arrests occurred.
You're going to be talking about that in some detail, I assume.
And it was my impression that that both Patrick and Sandy were assaulted by the police, if not the other, and the Sentinel kind of
ran
the other way around.
I hope you go into that in detail, but I don't want to do it right now on the phone, because I think that really takes some time, and I want you to do that possibly with another witness. Maybe you can bring in someone you already have someone in the studio as you play this tape who can really elucidate that issue more fully, or if you don't, please talk about it.
We will be doing that a little later on here. This is 96.3 FM, Free Radio, San Cruz.
No, Robert, I was there yesterday when the arrests occurred.
Now, a little update here. Patrick Ring and Sandria Roth were bailed out yesterday afternoon. It was quite costly, and that's sometimes the price being paid. So keep those donations coming in. We need to pay for lawyers and time.
You've got to go there and support them. I'm hoping that we're going to start a sleep out at Willie Brown's house here in San Francisco. By we, I mean folks outside, in support of freeing me, in support of ending the injunction in San Francisco against serving free food, in support of ending the Matrix arrest of people sleeping outside, in support of the ending to anti-homeless laws in other cities, such as Santa Cruz, where you are in the midst of a very important struggle. You actually have a few attorneys who are trying to help you. And who knows, there's even talk of an injunction in federal court. Any news on that?
The City Hall sleepers protest, the attorneys are working and very disgusted with how we've been treated by the courts so far in Santa Cruz, and very seriously considering going up the ladder, so to speak. And because basically what happened in court yesterday was that all of the declarations that Anthony Condotti from the city attorney presented were stricken for being improper form. The major declaration was given by a person who had no personal knowledge and was just reading from police reports.
I hope you will be, going into that in greater detail as well. I can't really discuss it with you because I don't have any really access to that information, but I hope that you go over it in some detail, talk about the false charges.
Even though that the city did not prove their case in any way, shape, or form, they basically are still in the catbird seat as far as the injunction.
Well, Stevens is a company player, he's an organization man. He was one of the people, I believe, who upheld the food injunction. I could be wrong, back in 1989 when Santa Cruz made it illegal to serve free food to the homeless and then began arresting people by the dozens. And eventually convicted two of them and sent them to jail for 22 days. I've got the honor of serving longer, but...
So, Robert, what's on your agenda today?
And my agenda today is I am reading a history of women in America.
All right.
I'm finishing a letter to you.
Right.
And I'm also going to be sleeping for about 2 weeks.
In solidarity with the City Hall sleepers protest.
Exactly. I'm boning up for when I get out. I also probably be in touch with local people in San Francisco to see how things are going and what I can do. There's not a lot you can do in jail. You can write. You can.
Okay, and one other thing that our listeners can do if is they can get collect phone calls from you.
Oh yes, at some preposterous cost. You should.
So if they're willing or able.
Yeah,
the answering machines don't work, but call the Huff line at 423-4833 and leave your name and your phone number and give permission for Robert to call you from his jail cell.
It will cost you $100 a call, and that money should be to the City Hall sleepers. No, just kidding, folks. It is expensive. I don't know how much it costs.
I've been getting phone calls from jail quite frequently, from both locally and out of state even, and it's running about $7 for a 15-minute phone call.
It's kind of expensive.
It is kind of expensive.
So this phone call is running like $28, is what we're saying here. So I hope you appreciate this interview, because future interviews I think we're going to do via Richard Edmondson. It'll be a local call to me. He'll make the tape and he'll send it down to you.
Well,
the best way to do that.
Try to get more resourceful.
Yeah.
Robert, thank you so much for this jailhouse report. And
listen, if you want to support me, support the City Hall Sleepers protest, write a letter to the Sentinel denouncing abuses by the mayor in terms of this unconstitutional injunction that is currently being leveled against the protesters, and also demand an end to the sleeping provisions of the camping ban, which make it illegal for people to sleep outside, which affect 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz. I've been saying this for a year on the radio show. It now needs to be said by the people who are listening to the radio show in letters, on talk shows, in public, and maybe we'll get some changes.
Hey, thanks a lot.
That
is the reality that's going throughout the whole third world.
Okay, this is 96.3 FM, and now you're listening to the voice of Jim Costner at the Revolutionary Coalition Forum, which took place last night at Loudoun Nelson Center.
Costner speaking.
Sever ourselves from the illusion and deal with the truth, because if you don't deal with the truth, you'll never have a chance to be a free people. That truth that 40,000 children a day die around this world for the lack of a dollar, $1.57 of food and mess. And to deal with that, check it out, we hear that.
Apologize for the poor sound quality in some of this. I'm trying to work out some of these audio bugs.
They cannot get the food. Do you know that
not very successfully, apparently.
Throws away all the food collected in one day that reaches the dumpster, the garbage can. If that food was distributed throughout the world, not one human being would die of starvation. That's a fact. And they spend, people in America spend more money on golf daily. If that's money, I'm serious, no, it's a fact.
Oh,
if you check out how much money spent on things like golf in this country, if that money was given to the people throughout the world who are starving, who are hungry, not one human being would die. That's a fact. That's how far the competition has gone in this world. That's how far the unequal process of the world's resources has gone. And I want to know, when are people going to stand up against the oppression, against the system? Because if we don't do that, then we're all slaves. And the people in the world are suffering because of that. Next, I'd like to introduce Becky Johnson, who will also introduce Dan Hopkins, and also Sean Almedius here. That brother over there has spent 3 weeks in jail for the crime of sleeping in Santa Cruz. Robert Norris today is in jail and in cage, and he is spending 2 months in jail for feeding people who are hungry food. That is the reality going on in America. Becky Johnson has been an incredible supporter of the homeless struggle that's been going on for a long time, but the people there, including Dan Hopkins, who initiated the process, have been there for over 100 days. 100 days in and out, they have protested. They have demanded that the sleeping ban be abolished, and yet people are still being threatened, prosecuted, put in jail, blankets, sleeping bags stolen from them. People have spent lots of time in jail. A couple people just recently beaten up. So here you have homeless people who are only asking the right to sleep. They deserve a lot more than that. And there you have the system coming down upon them. That has got to stop. With that, Becky Johnson.
Hi, I'm Becky Johnson, and it's 112 days at City Hall at the noon today. And it's been quite an interesting time. The topic of my speech tonight was to have been the true cost of homelessness, in which I was going to go through and explain to you how we're penny-wise and dollar-foolish and how we're spending our funds on homelessness. But instead, I thought that I would talk about some of the more recent events and bring all of you up to speed about some of the shenanigans that have been going on in our beautiful little town, in liberal San Cruz, in a place where we cultivate compassion, we cultivate tolerance. Santa Cruz is a town of 50,000 people, but for some peculiar reason, what happens here winds up being heard all over the world, and what we do here makes a difference all over the world, and what's going on at City Hall has the potential of making a difference in the lives of homeless people everywhere. It's been a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week protest at City Hall. It started out with many signs and banners and passing out leaflets and everything. These have been steadily seized and cut down and legislated and removed, and as the city, in its lack of patience, in its feeling that there's only so much First Amendment to go around, in its self-gratification that, oh, we spend more on homeless in per capita in the city of Santa Cruz than any other country or any other city in the country, it's enough to make one reel. $8 million per capita per year is what the latest figure that we had from Mayor Mike Rodkin's mouth. For this, we have 8 months of the year, we have sleeping spaces for 60 people. In the city limits alone, we have approximately 1,000 homeless people. That's, 940 who must dodge the police and the troll busters nightly. The troll busters. And
what is a
troll buster? A troll buster is sort of a self-appointed thug who goes around in bushes and under bridges and beats up homeless people for fun.
Oh, no.
It goes down
in this community. It does.
Yep.
It happens.
For years, it's been going down.
Well, in recent weeks, we have heard many reports of increased activities with troll busters, and including a group of young, about 20-year-old group that are going along the riverbanks with billy clubs and beating homeless people when they find them sleeping, where they're trying to hide from the police who should be protecting them.
That's right.
But instead, they're having to hide from the police.
That's right.
On Monday, I took Robert Norris Kahn to jail. He had been convicted of having served homeless people and hungry people at Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco bagels, soup, and, I'm told, a lovely garden salad. For this, he was arrested, taken to jail, released, went back to Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco and did it again, was rearrested, released, and went on a jury trial. Now, what Ed was talking about a little earlier about what goes on in the court, let me tell you some of the specifics about what happened at Robert's jury trial. First off, the key witness was a man named Keith McHenry. Keith McHenry, by the way, is a direct descendant of James McHenry. James McHenry was the Secretary of War under George Washington. His signature is the second to the last on the Constitution of the United States. His great-grandson founded Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. Keith McHenry was to have been the chief witness at Robert Morris Kahn's trial. But the police arrested him the first day of Robert's trial. And they held him on trial the entire time, and when the trial was over, they released Keith. And then they dropped the charges. And then they said, oops, it was a mistake. Sorry. Meanwhile, at the trial, the jury was precluded from hearing anything, any evidence about homelessness, any evidence about the existence of hunger in the city of San Francisco. They were only told, was there an injunction in place? Did Robert know there was an injunction in place? Did Robert violate that injunction? That's all you need to know. And the jury ruled, and they sentenced him to 2 months in county jail. Now, I cannot possibly explain what happened next. When the district attorney of San Francisco, a man named Terrence Hallinan, came down, he's the prosecutor in the case, and was sitting at the prosecutor's table, and every time, and he came down, not once, not twice, but three times on three separate occasions, and spoke at Robert's trial. He could have sent one of his little flunky underling DA guys down, but he didn't. And each time he stood up and said, Your Honor, the city moves that the sentence be dropped to time served. We do not favor incarcerating people for giving away bagels and soup. And Judge Barkley decided he needed to think 3 weeks about this. Mm-hmm. This was Judge Robert Barkley, who was mysteriously brought in from
That's the Revolutionary Coalition of Homeless, Humanity, Freedom, and Friendship, 423-HUB.